You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the number one Cardiff City podcast, brought to you by Wales Online.
Hello and welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the Cardiff City podcast in association with Giovanni's Restaurants. I'm your host, Glenn Williams, and I'm joined by Nathan Blake and Paul Van Donato. How are we, gents?
I'm all right, yeah, you? Thank you, Glenn.
In space there.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot to get through today. So we've got the Reading trilogy that we just come off the back of. Paul's going to talk us through the fans' Q&A that was held at the stadium on Friday night a little bit. Then we'll come to the transfer window and a pretty busy deadline day. And we'll finish off, as always, with some Ask Blakey and predictions. So let's get down to it then. So Reading, played them 3 times in 11 days, drew all 3 games and eventually coming out worse off in penalties in the FA Cup game on Tuesday night. Blakey, your initial thoughts of Cardiff being dumped out of the FA Cup on penalties?
It's disappointing, I have to say, especially to a lesser team. Probably play slightly better football, but look, they're not any great shakes, are they? I don't know. I just think I always think it's a great opportunity to get your team going and build confidence and what have you. You know, I look at it that way. I don't look at it the other way as, you know, rest legs, tired, blah 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 blah. Because in my day you played, you know, if you weren't capable of playing like 40 to 50 games a season, then you were no good really to anybody. You know what I mean? Half a season was no good. So, and you only had, what, 2 or 3 subs then? Square wheels and horse and cart and that. But, you know what I mean? I think with modern day football, pitches are so fantastic. Don't carry no weight, no mud. Balls are lighter, boots are lighter, kit is lighter. Half the kit looks like something Mr. Motivator would wear. Do you know what I mean? So I just think squads are bigger. I don't understand it, me. I think if you approach it in the manner where I think publicly the manager's going to be, oh, we want to get through, blah, 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 blah. But the team selection shows, like, you know, you put out a strong team, but some of those players are playing with no confidence. Some of those players are not bothered. You know, so I think the result was, I didn't go to the game. I watched the highlights. I thought it played okay. You know, I don't think it was, I thought the league game was a poorer performance, if I'm totally honest.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know if you agree with that.
Yeah, no, games. I do. I thought they were good last night, actually.
Yeah. Again, just not able to put it away, put it to bed. Should have put it to bed, really and truly. And then, you know, I think a third goal would have really killed them off. Or if not, just keep that clean sheet, you know. So, I don't know. You can look at it both ways. You can look at it, if Cardiff are going for the playoffs and having a proper run, you might excuse it. But failing that, I think it's an opportunity missed. Especially, I always say, these days it's for the fan, right? The fans love the FA Cup, regardless of what players think about it, managers think about it. If you can get a good run in the FA Cup, fifth round, you know, quarterfinals, something like that, you know, some great trips, you know, great occasions.
Gives everyone a lift.
It does. It's just a great boost for the club in general, for people and for players in general. Once they get beyond a certain point, you know. I look at Liverpool and see what they're having to cope with. their schedule, which is pretty ridiculous. But make no bones about it, if they get the semi-final, you won't be seeing any kids playing in those games. Like, you know, I think that's when it really comes to prominence, when it gets to semi-finals, finals. But, you know, I think Cardiff missed an opportunity, personally.
Paul, your thoughts on it? Obviously, three draws. There was a win over West Brom sandwiched in between that somewhere, but that all seems to have been lost after these three Reading games, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm not saying I didn't care about the FA Cup game, but I was far more perturbed about not winning the league game than I was the FA Cup game, quite frankly. Whatever the level of the performance is. I can see what Blake is saying about once you get through, momentum builds. There were only 4,000 fans there, though, the other night for the Cup game, which I think told its own story. The big disappointment for me was the draw in the league game on Friday night, which is definitely a game on the back of West Brom that you've mentioned that Cardiff had to win to start climbing further up the table to get that momentum going. As it is, they're ensconced still mid-table. I think, you know, you look at this as a trilogy. Sounds like Holyfield Bow, this, Blakey, doesn't it?
I would liken it to the Beverly Hills Cop trilogy.
Okay. Well, hang on, that was a damn good sequence of films.
No, the first one was great. Second one was also good. Third one
was brilliant. But anyway, no, I know what you mean. That was about Disneyland, wasn't it?
Yeah, third one was awful.
Look, Cardiff, to me, two or three players aside, Cardiff have got, I hesitate to use the phrase much superior, but I think they've got a much superior squad than Reading. I really do.
I would say.
And I looked at that, and I looked at Mark Bowen, who I know quite well, down on the touchline in the Reading dugout, and I just thought to myself, do you know what? If Bowes, I've always thought, you know, he was your Wales coach, Blakey. I always felt, rightly or wrongly, he was a bit of the power behind the throne there. I know Sparky got all the plaudits, but Bowen was clearly a highly rated
Eddie
coach.
Nedreski probably. Right.
But Eddie's there with him. Eddie and Bowes,
they were equally as good.
Eddie's there with him at Reading, and I just looked at that, and I just thought, do you know what? If those dugouts were juxtaposed and Bowen had those Cardiff players, I think Cardiff might have won all three games, to be honest with you. I mean, it's all spiffballing, it's hypothesising, but I think the point I'm trying to make is that
Cardiff
have got better players than three draws against Reading suggests.
You know the worrying thing?
So there have to be reasons for the fact they are not beating Reading in three games. There have to be reasons. Mm.
The worrying thing for me, sorry Glenn,
no.
The worrying thing for me is, and I think a few people, I think quite a few fans have clocked this as well, you know, like, when we're struggling, we seem to go route one, but on steroids. We seem to, like, what was the game where we took off our wingers? I seen you in the press room after.
It was a Reading game.
Reading game.
It was Friday night's game.
Yeah, the league game.
Yeah, when we took off our two wingers, played three and a three, and just went.
So before you go any further, Blakey, I want to do a bit of, and this is not a told you so. Glenn will verify this. Mm-hmm. We went to the ground quite early. There were reasons for that. I had to go and attend the Q&A that the chairman was doing with the fans, which we'll come on to in a minute, but. As I got out of the car, I just turned. I said to Glenn, and he'll verify this, and our other colleague Tom Colmer was with us, and I said, the first thing he has got to do today is freshen up this team. They only played 3 days ago. Those wingers, Hoyler and White, put in one heck of a shift against West Brom. So straight away he's got to bring in Murphy and another there. Didn't I, Glenn?
Yeah.
So when I saw the team sheet, I thought, why is he doing it? And he hooks them both at half time. Now, if I could see that before the game, why can't the manager see it, Blakey?
Couldn't tell you, mate. I really couldn't. I think it's pretty glaring, wasn't it?
Well, since Mendes Lang's been injured, White's just been running to the floor. He's played every minute.
Flogging a dead horse, mate.
Yeah.
Really.
One stat I wanted to say.
But what I like about him is that he will just keep going.
I'm
not sure what he is, Gav. Yeah. And someone said to me the other day, he'd probably be a better right back. And when I thought about it, I thought, well, I don't know if he can defend, but he works tirelessly.
And no one disputes that, Blakey.
I feel for him. But
as your winger, you've got to have creative edge.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you, mate. I can.
So Cardiff, in all competitions this season, played 35 games, and they've drawn 16 of them, which is roughly about 46-47%. That is an incredibly high number, isn't it? Do you think there's a mental fragility in the squad? Which means
I think they're just short, Glenn. I've said it since day one. Neil Warnock was saying this team is going to do this, that, and the other. I just couldn't see it. Mm. Couldn't see where the signings fitted in. And here we are, what, halfway through the season, and, you know, Volks is just getting a run. Big Aiden sat on the bench. Do you know what I mean? I just couldn't see the dynamic of how what you're trying to build. And that's been the case for a while with me. And then, you know, in fairness to Neil Harris, you can't hold him responsible for the squad that's been accumulated by the previous manager. And, you know, I would say, what, 80% of the players probably brought in by Neil? 70% of the players? By Neil Warnock. So it's difficult to look at Neil Harris and say, what I hope Neil Harris would do, is come in, and after a period of time, what we'd start to see is a transition. Because, you know, I think what this boot room does is lead on a lot of stuff. I really do.
Yeah.
I think we were the first to put it out there, like, we need to move to a more footballing type style of game, right? Now, I'm happy to say I was first on record saying, like, I wouldn't have taken Warnock to the Premier League. That's just me. I'm ruthless like that, right? Because I've always said the club comes first. But what we're not seeing now is that transition. What we're seeing, frighteningly so, and I disagree strongly with Rob Phillips and Danny Gabaldon after the West Brom game, this was a turning point in the season. Just don't see it, right? Just don't see what they're seeing, honestly. I just look at the situation and I think to myself, right, I feel a bit for Neil Harris because he's trying to get someone else's squad, someone else's ship to turn, basically. But I then question, does he have the capability to actually turn it? And that is the million-dollar question for me. I don't know him as a guy. I don't dislike him as a person. I think he comes across a nice geezer, understands the game well, played the game, good guy and all that. But the evidence for me is Millwall. Guy Rowett, not known as a great footballing coach, and then has come in, and I would say Millwall playing far better brand of football under Guy Rowett in 6 months than they did under Neil Harris in 5 years. That's the worrying statistic for me, if you want to look across the board. So for me, the man we should have got was on TV the other day, on Sky the other day, reporting Tottenham Liverpool, Chris Hughton. But there's planning, there's foresight, there's an understanding not only of the game, but dynamics between personalities. And, you know, you don't just sign players, you find out about their mums, their dads, their wives, their kids, how they are. Do they like the drink? Do they like the gamble? Are they nightclubbers? You know, you find out a lot about the personality. Can he take a row? Is he a sensitive soul? You find all these things out before you sign players in modern day. 20 years ago, you might not have, but now in modern day, you do. And, you know, I just think the transition of what Neil Harris is trying to achieve. One, does he have the expertise? But two, I think it's so hard for him with another man's squad, basically. Mm. So I'm kind of like, you know, I'm balanced. I kind of lost expectation at the start of this season. That was me,
mm.
right? And now I look and I see what's developing in front of me. And I go, okay, if they have put a run together, yeah, they could still possibly get to the playoffs. But I've not believed it since day one. I've always felt we'll finish 8th, 10th, something like that. And the way things are going, we'd be lucky to get 10th at the moment. Yeah. We're going to have to put a hell of a run together
I think your
to
stats,
get in the top 8.
I think your stats, Glenn, identify Cardiff City as what they are. Mm. They're a very hard team to beat. And one of the reasons for that is because of the quality of defenders that they've got there. And also, you know, particularly now Morrison is playing with Nelson. Morrison looks a different player
yeah.
again. The sort of, you know, he's one of the best defenders in that division. I think they've got an incredible work ethic, which makes them hard to beat. And they've got that set-piece mentality, which also makes you difficult to play against.
And a keep-going mentality.
But, yeah, but what they don't have, which is why they're not winning games, with what is a great foundation there, what they don't have is cutting edge going forward, apart from Lee Tomlin. They're completely reliant on Lee Tomlin for a creative edge. And that's why I found that window that's just gone demoralising, because yeah. it's crying out. But Josh Murphy, I still maintain, is the best winger at that club, but he isn't picked for the league games. So he could give a cutting edge. But, you know, we're having to accept Callum Patterson now as the emergency centre forward, and he does a better job there than anybody else. On the other side, Junior Hoilett's lost. Junior Hoilett's lost his ability to go past a player. Gavin White doesn't really get past players and deliver in the final third. You know, that cutting edge is required. Now, it may be that Adoma does offer that. We'll see. We'll come on to transfers, no doubt, in a moment. But that just sums up Cardiff, that they've got this brilliant base of very good defenders, excellent goalkeepers, hard-working ethic, set piece makes you difficult to play against, set piece expertise, and would occasionally bag you a goal. Both goals against West Brom came from set pieces, for example. Didn't the goal against Reading come from a set piece, the league game? Wasn't it a long throw? But lack that dynamism in the final third, aside from Lee Tomlin, and if he is on his game, Josh Murphy. And that's why, to me, that had to be addressed in the transfer window, and it wasn't.
Just final point for me on that FA Cup game. A couple of positives I want to end on. Josh Murphy scored twice, and best game I've seen him play all season. Thought he was unplayable at times, but obviously we need to see more of it.
Not bothered about that. I'm talking as a former professional who was at Cardiff City, and in my younger days, I would say, struggled with consistency. But in my, I can't call it senior, I was 21. In my latter years, not a problem. I think once you get beyond a certain point, you kind of grow up mentally, physically, you grow up. And then you understand that, you know, this game isn't about, trust of a manager, trust, reliance of the manager. It's actually about me going out and performing. Now, there's times where you go out and you feel tired, real tired, and you won't perform well. But there are other times you feel $1 million. And then there's other times you go out feeling not so good. You score a goal after 6 minutes and you feel $1 million. I don't know why. Mm. That adrenaline just runs through you for the rest of the game. But for me, you know, when I see a player of mad ability like that, and I also know, I understand that players can be unhappy at clubs for, you know, a world of reasons. And I think Josh has fallen into that sort of, he looks an unhappy soul. Do you know what I mean? And I think whatever it is, if I'm Neil Harris, you know, someone at the club, pull him into the office and say, what is going on? You know, this isn't about, we want you to be brilliant for us. Just you personally, what is going on? Because you're not happy for a reason. Now, if it's being here, then we're going to have to try and move you on, right? If that's your gripe, is this club, then we're going to have to move you on. But if it's not, we need to find a way to get you back to your best for everyone's sake, right? And I just think the club lacks that sort of understanding and the direction. It's like you've got, I don't know, I just...
Point, I presume, is talk about the young kids who played, yeah?
Yeah, Joe Bagan on debut, thought he was brilliant at left back. Somebody highly thought of in the senior squad and in the academy. Somebody who's been training with the first team since Neil Harris has come in. And Tom Sang as well came in. Came on after extra time began. Thought he did, gave a really good account of himself as well. So it's congratulations
good
to
on
them,
the
really.
Academy, kids. Mm. Good on the academy.
Yeah, did really well.
Fair play to him.
Yeah, No, Joel Bagan certainly think he's one for the future.
Good on,
anyway, end of part one. In part two, we'll be discussing the fans Q&A and the transfer window.
Subscribe to the Boot Room on iTunes or listen on WalesOnline.co.uk.
Welcome back. So we've just touched on it, but Paul, can you just take us through the fans' Q&A at the stadium on last Friday night?
Yeah, basically there were about 40 selected, I don't know if you call them supporters, leaders or supporters representatives, whatever, and there were a few invited members of the media who attended. It was the Sony Lounge at Cardiff City Stadium. It was about an hour before kick-off against Reading, and Mehmet Dahlman stood there with Ken Chu and the club's lawyer, Chris Knott, and basically stood court to address questions the fans asked him, really.
The fit questions they were asked.
Salah, mainly, to be honest with you. So Mehmet outlined the club's stance on why they're not paying the Salah money, and asked the fans to take that message to other fans. He dropped a couple of bombshells, one in particular about Sam Hammam is suing the club allegedly for £15 million, which is something that I personally have been working on today, this morning, on both sides, because I know Sam's side as well as the club side, obviously. And
I thought that was all. Is that going back?
Yeah,
like
it's
8 years ago.
It's re-erupting itself. It's a wow. complex issue. It needs a bit more work from me, but it's re-erupted itself. It's a new claim. It's not the original Langston loan notes claim that you and I were thinking of. Okay. It's a new claim that's linked to that, but is not as a result of that. If you see what, or not directly part. That thing again.
Yeah. If you pay me, we'll go into it.
You know, he addressed issues like transfers as much as he could, given that the window was not closed at that point. And I just thought it was a useful exercise. For the first time, the club have gone on the front foot on Salah in terms of previously they've dealt with it in drips and drabs, I think, but they've officially outlined why they're not paying the money, the complexities of it. And I don't want to go too much into it because there are obviously issues going on the other side of the channel at the moment and things like that that involving the authorities. But
did you think they were right in what their stance is?
I do think that it's... And one of the things Mehmet Dalman said was he said he looks at fans' forums and things like that, and he said that he saw something on there, he sees things on there about just pay the money and get it done. And he outlined why they weren't doing that, and he said that that comment kind of irritates him a little bit because it's a far more complex issue than that. I'm just aware of the complexities of it all.
I understand that.
Yeah,
but you know, this is a fan's sort of, you know, forum, if you like.
Yeah,
and as a fan, I'm asking a question. How does a transfer become complex? A transfer is quite straightforward. I've had many of them. How does it become complex? Number one. Number two, are you in agreement with the club then that he wasn't our player? And if so, my third part of the question is, why are the club asking the fans to raise funds? Because they clearly feel he was their player.
No, they're not asking them to raise funds.
They're asking them to do some sort of...
They're just asking to help pass a message on about the club's stance.
Weren't they trying to raise money or something like the last game?
No, they've done that themselves. Yeah. They've put a substantial amount of money into him, which is a great thing.
It is a great thing, right? Because he's their player, though, isn't that right?
That's
where I'm at.
It all centres, and that's why I don't want to get too into it because the authorities are involved, but it all centres around the legality of the flight. Who put him on that plane? That plane wasn't fit to fly. That plane had a pilot who was colorblind, so wasn't licensed to take commercial flights in the evening, that sort of thing. So it's all of this litigation.
And Cardiff for saying that was out of their hands.
That is all.
Once he came here and went back to France, they're saying once he left Cardiff,
Cardiff are saying that they offered him the usual BA club class flight to come back to the UK.
Yeah.
Yeah. Presumably to London and then to South Wales. But for whatever reason, it was taken out of their hands, and at that end, i.e. the French end, he ended up on the other flight. Yeah.
For whatever reason, that part of what you said there, for whatever reason, that is the crux.
Yes, yes. Right? And that's what helps make it a complex thing.
Because in that crux is pretty, I would say, is pretty straightforward. You make it complicated if you want to make it complicated. And I'm not talking about the club. I'm talking about the whole situation and everybody involved. That's UEFA, the club, agents, former managers, you name it, all involved, right? And I'm just looking at that whatever part and looking at that and thinking, well, you know, that shouldn't be complicated. It should be a straightforward exercise. Maybe too many people involved in something that shouldn't have been involved. But at the end of the day, for me, and I think for a lot of fans, you know, the club doing the memorial thing, it feels so good on one hand, but then very confusing on another hand. Do you understand what I mean? Because I'm talking from a fan's perspective now, and me personally as a fan, we feel like we felt he was our player. Do you know what I mean? And I know you're saying the detail is coming down to the flight, but what the club are saying that he wasn't ours. He was, you know, he hadn't yet signed the proper documentation. That's where they kind of left it. Now, if you're talking about the flight, that's a whole different ball game then. Do you know what I mean?
It's all of it, Blake. It's all interlinked.
It's so messy, isn't it?
That's where we are. I think as a general rule of thumb, though, I think that him meeting the fans is not a bad idea.
They should do that once every quarter. They should do it like a board meeting, say, three or four times a year.
Blake, yeah, absolutely.
Paul, was there something to do with tightening the purse strings? Maybe did Mehmet mention something about that in terms of potential transfer windows that I saw?
I have to remember what he said now. I think what he said was something along the lines of, yeah, he said, this was before the Reading game, something along the lines of that the next three matches were key to determining the team's future for the rest of this season.
Mm-hmm.
And if I recall correctly, without checking my notes, I think it was to do with that. It was linked to that if they were pushing, obviously, up there, that Vincent would be more relaxed about releasing those purse strings. But if they were a mid-table team, there would have to be a tightening of them. I'm sure it was along that. I don't want to misquote Mehmet, but I think it was something along those. Is that what you read?
Yeah, something along those.
And
what I'd say to the club is that is part of the problem, right? So the idea of this game is to try and get to the Premier League and then try and grow in the Premier League and what have you, right? It shouldn't be a... if you're here, we do this. If you're there, you do that. If you're there, we do this sort of thing. Right. So all roads should lead to the Premier League and sustainable in the Premier League, a sustainable club. Right. So it's like, so Neil Harris is looking at this and thinking the club are then punishing him or the team or the fans, however you want to look at it, and saying, right, because you're below a certain position in the league, we're not going to give you funds to try and push on and push up into the league. Why? Because we've got a massive squad. Right. I've said from day one, the squad should be trimmed, right? The squad should be trimmed. But at the same time, what the club should have, they should show the foresight to have a continual plan, right? Which doesn't work on, I give you money if you're successful, if you're not, I don't. Because you might need money in order to become successful, right? So you've got to look at the whole structure of what's going on and the strategy, basically, and how they're approaching, you know. And I'm not one who says spending every transfer window, especially if you've got 40-odd players. I'm not, all right? But as you can see, I won't say turmoil, but, you know.
Disquiet.
Well, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. Do you know what I mean? It's that kind of thing. It's kind of like as you go along, rather than
horses for courses,
rather than pre-planned as part of an overall strategy to do this, right? And to do this is pretty straightforward. It's promotion, right? Because I look at teams like Wolves and what they've been able to achieve, Sheffield United, what they've been able to achieve or what they're achieving, and I think to myself, like, doesn't that show like the that if you've got the capability and the will and the understanding of the game and what's needed of your club, surely you can get forward quickly or quicker, right? If you've got some sort of plan in place and an understanding of what it is you're trying to achieve. At the moment, you would say then you're sat in 12th at the moment?
Yeah.
12th position, transfer window just gone. I think many would say we could have done with, you know, a few players in, which we did do, but equally a few players out. You know, I've always said I'd adopt the one in, two out at least. Yeah, so come the summer now, I'll be looking to really cut that squad massively. And if it meant giving golden handshakes to people, I would do so and kind of start again. It's easier said than done because it's not my money.
Yeah.
But if people are running down to a year, you can get agreements with them and off they go, or, you know, you're going to sit there, not going to play if your agent don't get your move, sort of thing. So, I just feel like it's after the event all the time.
I'm looking.
Do you know what I mean? Not right. This is what, and it's like I say, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to work out what we want, what the fans want, what the club wants to achieve. That's promotion and sustainability in the Premier League. But to get there, it's like I was thinking like over the couple of years, like amount of different strikers we've been through. And I was gonna be a proper geek and draw it up and all that. And I thought, no, I was going back to like Ricky Lambert and people like that, who just continually struggled. And this club, I would say, the last 5, 6, 7 years, you know, it's weird. You've had two promotions to the Premier League, right? But we don't seem to have an identity.
So I'm just looking. I've actually turned to the relevant page from last Friday in my notebook, right? And it's something like, you know, the chairman actually said this, that we spent a lot of money under Neil Warnock. We're not complaining. We got promoted, but we have to manage the club financially a lot better. And then Ken Chu, the chief executive, went on to say, in the last 3 years under Neil Warnock, we spent close to £100 million. Now, obviously.
Yeah, can I say though, we've said on the Boot Room Report, let me just say, Paul, sorry, mate. Now, I think Neil signed 30-odd players in 3 years.
Yeah.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's after the event, Mehmet. That's what I would say to him. It's like, how are you showing foresight, leadership, direction, right? Where's the club think it's going if, 4 months after Neil Warnock leaves, the chairman comes out and says, oh, we spent too much money, sort of thing.
So the chief.
When you're the ones who were signing it off.
The chief exec goes on to say that, so Vincent wants to see sort of better results, if you like, from the investments. Yeah,
it doesn't just happen, though, Paul.
We can't continue to spend this way in the Championship. We have to balance the books and be sensible as well. That's a direct quote from Ken Chu, the chief executive, and I know he's told me that privately many times as well. So that, to answer your question about the Salah, you know, the club putting their point of view about Salah across had to be the, you know, was the story of the weekend, but this is another strand to part of the Q&A, if you like, and
they need to sort themselves out. Seems, for me, I just think, like I said, it's very much, it's okay saying it after it's been done, but while it was going on, no one seemed to question it. It doesn't make sense to me.
But it is, we are where we are now, aren't we?
Yeah, but we can't keep saying that, because what happens is when we are where we are, what the owner's now saying is, right, purse strings are closed.
Yeah, well, or tightened. And then, tightened.
Nigh on closed, right? Nigh on closed. And now, like, you're one of the ones saying, we should strengthen in January, right? But the chairman's saying, you can't happen, mate. Why? Because we've wasted too much money already. Basically. Well, now, what I'm saying is, but you are the people who are signing off the deals when the money is being wasted. It's like a dog chasing his tail, mate.
My argument about strengthening Blakey.
Do you know what I mean? It's just going to go round in circles, which is effectively what we're doing.
And go around, so, you know, my argument is the age-old thing of speculate to accumulate, that this team, as we said earlier on this podcast, this team, as we see by the fact that not many teams beat Cardiff City, this team is hard to beat. They have the base of the goalkeepers, the defenders, the work ethic, blah, blah, blah. What they lack is that quality in the final third from a couple of players to assist Tomlin. And I just think with that quality in this transfer window, by speculating, they could have accumulated by making a genuine charge to the playoffs in what isn't a great division this year, Blakey.
That's what I'm saying. Then you've got to have the coach who can put it together, coach the players to a position where they're going to feel confident, full of beans, and go out and start running
and
over teams.
And maybe that's why they weren't going to spend the money. So who knows?
It's catch 22. I'm not saying
that as fact. I'm just asking the question.
I don't understand it. I don't. I really don't. I think they're getting to the point, right, which is a dangerous point, right? Again, to the point where you're going to run out of tunnels to run down.
Clearly there was a trust in Neil Warnock, which is why they spent all the money.
Why? Because he got promoted. Well, there was... I don't see how you watch. Okay, even in the championship season when we got promoted, you look and you think, you got promoted, played well at what we did, but if you want to do what the Romans are doing and you want to play football, sort of thing, that is what you're watching before you. And no fans fooled. We all knew you're not gonna. That is gonna struggle in the Premier League. Right, so therefore, if this guy happens to come in and gets promoted, what's the plan? Oh, we just stick with him, and what we'll do then is, even though we know he struggles in the Premier League, what we'll do, we'll give him a load of cash, right, to blow all the cash, right, we'll get relegated, we'll give him a bit more cash, blow that cash, and then we'll sack him in like October. And then say to the new miracle man, right, Jesus, take us to the promised land. It's madness. It's madness. It's madness.
You're a ruthless so-and-so.
It doesn't go... What I'm saying is, Paul, when I count...
Give you cash, blow it. Give you more cash, blow it.
No.
You
know? No, what I'm saying is, when I count, it's simple. It is if you want it to be. If you've got like an understanding and a strategy... Listen, I'm not saying it's guaranteed success, but you're more likely to get success than you are to just keep chasing something that seems to not, it either gets further away or it doesn't get any closer. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Good podcast this, isn't it?
It is.
Discussed any football on this podcast.
Because I think the situation with the club is more important, honestly.
Right.
I think the structure of the club is more important.
Okay, I appreciate that. Let's park that there, because talking a lot about the past there. Yeah. Let's talk about the immediate past and this window that's just gone.
Mm-hmm.
So 7 players out, 3 players in. So the players out, Omar Bogle on loan to Ardo Den Haag.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Medine released, subsequently gone to Blackpool. Armand Traore released. Brian Murphy released. Kieran Brown on loan to Livingston. Joe Day on loan to Wimbledon. And Lee Peltier, still a bit of a cloud what happened there. Left by mutual agreement, then signed with West Brom. In all on loan, Dion Sanderson, young centre-back stroke right-back from Wolves. Brad Smith, left-back on loan from Bournemouth, and Albert Adoma on loan from Forest. Do you want to start with the exits or the incomings?
Well, the exits are neither here, apart from Peltier.
The exits is important. The exits are important because you've got, 7 out and 3 in?
Yeah.
So you've kind of adopted that 2 out, 1 in sort of...
Yeah, which
thing, right? So you cut the wage bill, right?
Yeah,
so,
did they do good then?
Brilliant. Yeah, okay. Because then what you're doing, you're standing... But I bet you of those 7 that were out, they all probably came in the last 2 or 3 years.
Why was Joe Day even signed?
Why have they come in the first place is the point,
mm-hmm.
going back to what we were saying earlier. Why are you spending the money if it doesn't fit? You know, you can't just come and tell me I want this player. You've got to tell me, right, how does he fit in to what we're doing, what we're trying to achieve,
mm-hmm.
right? And now, poor Neil Harris, the rope's on the purse strings, you know, it's tight, mate. You're not going to get much out of it. But 7 out, 3 in, so tick for the club, in the sense that you're now saving the owner a bit of money that is wasteful to me.
Mm-hmm.
Total, just may as well just go out in the stadium and do like you do in America, where you throw it all about and just give it to everybody.
Blakey, big tick for Bloober's hierarchy, shocker.
I do think that's a good thing in one sense. Yes, I do, Blake.
Peltier leaving. Paul, do you have any insight on that? There's some reports of any.
No. I think. Listen, I was never a Peltier fan the way Blakey is, and a lot of Cardiff fans are. I think it's a fabulous move for him to go and join a team that could well win the title.
That's a
fabulous move for him. I'm shocked by it. Although West Brom are the sort of side who are incredibly adventurous and probably need out-and-out defenders, which is what Peltier is. I feel that he's 34 this year.
Yeah.
I feel if Cardiff are to evolve the way Blakey rightly says they have to evolve as a team, they need a fullback who's more comfortable going forward to offer assistance. Mm-hmm. And particularly Blakey, from a night like the other night where he played a diamond shape in effect, where there is no width, and so the width has to come from your fullbacks. Mm. So I just feel, you know, Glenn, you were the one who said that, you know, from a conversation you first had with him, that he raves about Jazz Richards, which genuinely surprised some of us, but he does. And clearly Jazz is his first choice.
Yeah, he called him outstanding.
So he was happy to let Lee Peltier go, whereas Lee Peltier would have been an absolute shoo-in under Neil Warnock. Blakey's a massive Peltier fan, though. You'll think he'll be missed.
Yeah, sad to see him go, Blakey.
I am. I think he was I think he was probably better in the sense of he got forward a bit more this season, especially after Neil Warnock left, not getting forward to where he's overlapping and crossing, but he's just running forward into positions where takes men away and creates space for other players. I thought he'd done that better this year. Mm-hmm. But if you gave him the choice over Jazz and Peltz, you know, I think Jazz has, in fairness, I think Jazz has struggled up against wingers since he's come in. He's come up against one-on-one wingers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe...
Well, all the goals last night came down his flank, so crosses from his flank.
I've seen that on the highlights too. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to mention that, Glenn.
Apologies.
But, you know, I just think... Maybe let's just say he's been out a very long time.
Yeah.
So, you know, we might think, oh, he's back to his best, but he's nowhere near, his best.
I do think
it's going to take some time for him to get. And we may see him, I would say, if he plays till the end of the season and gets through it injury free, touch wood, right, then hopefully, good preseason, we'll see the best of him next year.
Incomings then. Albert Adoma, somebody who piques your interest?
Well, what I say to this, I'll come on to this, because Blake and I were discussing it deep into the night on Friday, weren't we, Blakey? Mm-hmm. And I think the initial reaction from Cardiff fans was, why are we buying somebody who's 32 past his best? Why aren't we playing young players? And I think Blake and I were a little bit more supportive of that than that. Or I was asked, because to me, Adoma was always a very good player.
Mm.
And I suppose the question was, how much of that pace has he lost? Because Cardiff do need that. But... I don't know. Maybe that might be better than we think. I don't know. We're open to Blakey's judgment on that.
Yeah, I don't know either. I've always liked him as a player.
Mm.
I've always really liked him. Like many fans, you think, is he past his best? Well, yeah, you usually are when you're 32. You might be just holding on to your best maybe for another couple of months, a year, but no more than that. But... he's an out-and-out right sider. I think, you know, I don't think it's fair that you can just keep asking Mr. White to work that right flank. I think you've got to, regardless, I think, you know, even if it was just till the end of the season, I'm not sure how long his contract is.
Yeah, end of the season.
Well, I think that's a decent deal to do, yeah.
I think it's definitely an area they needed. So the other two, Brad Smith on loan from Bournemouth and Deion Sanderson on loan from Wolves, not sure any of us have seen anything of either of them.
So it'd be interesting to see how they fit in, because all I'm looking at now, like I said, expectation, I didn't have any, and less now than even if I got slightly excited before somewhere along the line, it's just dissipated for me. I just look and just think, right, let's just analyse, try and work out what's going on. And I look now and I just think, I hope what Neil Harris is doing is kind of picking up pieces to put together, planning towards good pre-season and then next season. Right? I hope that's what he's doing by the players he's picking up and what he's looking to do structurally with the team, because clearly he thinks he's addressing the fullback problem.
But only on loan until the end of the season, so they can get back to their club.
But what I'm saying is, if that fullback comes in and does well, and he's a fullback that likes to get forward, if this is what he's trying to achieve, it's like, because you look at Junior and Gavin White, right, who play more or not. They're players who play from out the in.
Yeah.
So they play into the striker, across the line, right? So that you have to have attacking fullbacks in that system. Yeah. Because you've got like a Bakuna and a Pack holding all the time, right? So you've got your box four, we've spoken about this before, you've got to have those fullbacks attacking. So if the young lad comes in and does really well, you know, puts pressure on Bennett, I think, looking by Neil Harris's reaction, I focus a lot on body language and stuff like that, I don't think he fancies Bennett at all, right? I think a few times in games, he's almost pulled his hair out with Bennett, right? And against West Brom, I think was the final straw when, what's his name, down the right wing, West Brom winger,
Matty Phillips.
He just bounced off Phillips about three times, and I could see in the eye saying, get rattled into him, sort of thing. So I think he's thinking two young attacking fullbacks, get forward more, get crosses in the box, allow my wingers to go inside. You know, that should open up space as well for my two central midfielders to receive the ball coming from right to left, then right, my fullbacks away, and it's just a simple forward pass into the space. I can see what he's trying to think. I'm hoping that's what he's trying to do. I'm hoping that's what he's trying to do. So let's see how it plays out. It doesn't matter if the young lad goes back. You can get him back again next year on loan for the season, or you go to go and get a similar type of fullback who you know can do the same sort of job. But again, that comes down then to your scouting, you know, your network.
Any more on the transfer window?
No, it wasn't a great window. Enough to say that.
Okay, we'll take a breather and we'll come back after this break with some Ask Blakey and some predictions. Welcome back to the final part of Blakey's Boot Room, where we will be asking your questions to the man himself. So let's get straight to it. We'll jump on Twitter and Peter Bradbury asks...
All right, Peter Bradbury.
Does Blakey agree that Neil Harris is out of his depth at this club?
No comment.
Get straight to it.
Yeah, don't mince your words. Listen, I hate it. I'm just trying to analyse what's going on, right, Pete? And I would say, like I said earlier in the podcast, I would say the proof for me is Millwall, right? And then you have to ask yourself, is Neil capable of taking you to where you want to go? Personally, I think not. But I would love him to prove me wrong and rub my face in anything he wants. Really, I would love him to prove me wrong. That's what I'm hoping he proves me wrong. But that's what I say. This is never personal. Don't know the lad. Mm. All I'm going on is what I see before me. Analyse it and I give my opinion.
Do you ever play against him?
I might have beaten him up once or twice, yeah. No, I think he's too young for me.
Jason Mohammed again.
All right, J-Mo. J to the Izzo.
He asks, can you ask Blake, does any other TV presenter make him tea when he's commentating on matches? Also, does he go along with my penalty takers? 1 Glatzel, 2 Murphy, 3 Vaux, 4 Patterson, 5 Blake off the commentary bench. Seriously, Tuesday was a missed opportunity.
Yeah, it was. It was. I think we're all aware of that. But I think what we're all aware of, Jay, is that, you know, like we were just saying, the balance of the club isn't, and fans know it. I'm telling you, I speak to many fans. You always get some who'll just be like blind to certain facts of the club. But in general, I don't take this the wrong way, but I went in the toilet leaving the Reading game. Not the last one, the one before Empire Strikes Back in the trilogy. And there was a gentleman in the toilet and he just let off. I know. But why, Nave? Why? I can't answer the questions. I don't know. And it's simple to put things in place, right? If you're the club, right? It's hard to put the right people in the right places, right? Because you have to do your research on people. You have to understand what that person's capable of. But then when you've got all those bits of the jigsaw, if you've put your jigsaw together right, it's the right picture, right, when you finish. If you've missed the square or something's in the wrong place, you think, that don't make sense, right? And that's where we are at the moment for me. It's like you've put the jigsaw together, but there's pieces either missing or in the wrong place, and you're thinking, I don't look like a map of Wales. It looks more like a map of Ireland or something. It just doesn't match up. So for me, Jay, you can keep going around, right, finger in the dike situation. We'll do this to cover that. We'll do this to cover that. We'll do this to cover that. Do that. And I should fix that. Do that. But you're reactive. not proactive. You're not setting the trend. You're not setting the direction. You're not saying this is what we're doing. As a, it doesn't have to come out into the general public, but as a club, right? The whole thing needs to be together. The whole thing needs to be better understood and have a better relationship with its fans. Remember, everything and everyone who works there is on behalf of the 20,000 fans that go every week to support that team. Anything underneath that is just a support mechanism for the 11 that start or for the 16 that play. Right? That is what they need to get the understanding of. Certain sections of that club think it works for itself. It doesn't. It all feeds into one. And the one thing it feeds into is the 11 that go out on a Saturday. Why? Because the 20,000 turn up to see them. And they keep coming back to see them. And they are interested in the 23s. And they are interested in the 18s. And they are interested in what the commercial deals have been done. And they are interested in who the chief executive is, who the chairman is. They, all these things matter. You know what I mean? Supporters Trust. We've just said, Paul said there was people from Supporters Trust asking questions around. So it's holistically, it needs to be better. Is that a good enough answer?
Yeah, it was very comprehensive. Tim Edge.
All right, Tim Edge.
Asks, are Cardiff destined for anything more than mid-table obscurity this season? If no, can you see it changing next season?
No, I think it is a no. I think they are just, like I said, 8th, 10th, 12th. And as I keep going lower when I speak to people now. 10th, 12th, in the summer it was 8th, 9th. But yeah, I think they can't win games. They don't lose many games, but they can't win games.
Mm.
And you can play two games, two draws, great. But if you win one, lose one, you're in a better position. It's as simple as that.
Barry Murphy.
Hi, Baz.
Asks, the biggest problem... Well, he says more than asks, but I thought it was a good discussion point. The biggest problem Neil Harris has got is that a number of fans were on his back before he even took the job.
Yeah.
So he gets very little credit when we do win, and those fans can't wait to jump on his back when we lose. A no-win situation, in my opinion.
I think it's the way we win, right? And the way you play. I honestly think if some of those draws we've had, the performances, and we were sat here going, wow, played well though.
Mm.
We played well. Didn't deserve to draw that game. Even the other night against Reading. Last night against Reading. If you sat here going, how do we draw that, by the way? And okay, they got away with penalties, but performance-wise, we're playing well. Problem has been, Glenn, it's been the other way around. Mm. We've been sat at games looking at each other going, are we 2-0 up?
Yeah.
All right? So I think that is something that they need to... Well, that's what I think Neil Harris was brought in, was to improve the performance. Right? Apparently, I'm just going on what I hear, gave a lot of stats on goals, shots, crosses, blah, blah, blah. That's old school. I don't want to hear that. How are we going to play? Right? Because this is our philosophy as a club. Do you fit into that? Right, but at the moment, for the last like 5, 6, 7 years, club's not had a real identity or philosophy of how it wants to play and how it wants to go forward. What kind of football our fans want to see. So that's what I'm saying. You're constantly like a dog chasing his tail. I mean, start at the beginning.
Paul, what do you think of that? Do you think he was behind the eight ball when he was appointed?
Harris?
Yeah.
100%, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, he it was a very... I've spoken to the club about this before, because they... I'm not saying they wanted to help to get behind him, but, you know, I just... You know, we have to be honest about these things. You know, we represent the fans, and they're not stupid. So, you know, there's no question this is a very underwhelming appointment. But obviously, as he is now the manager of Cardiff City,
you support him.
People have to get behind the manager of Cardiff City. It doesn't matter whether it's Nathan Blake, Glenn Williams, whoever.
Mm.
You know,
you support the manager. Right?
You have to get behind the manager. But obviously, you then can't. You know, and it's a massive but. The rider I gave was, but it is then up to him to very quickly win over those critics, because he will not have the kind of honeymoon period that a Craig Bellamy might have had, or a Neil Warnock when he first came in might have had. See what I mean? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he was behind the eight ball, and it became, Blakey used the phrase chicken and the egg or vicious circle earlier in this podcast, and it's the same there. Because he was behind the eight ball, because he didn't win them over with instant results and performances, it became a vicious circle stroke chicken and the egg. And that's why you get the situation of, as Barry said there, fans not being supportive of him whenever they lose, and perhaps him not getting...
I have sympathy for him in that sense, but your personal pride, you shut that down. But you know what I mean? You do want adulation, of course you do. But you also understand you have to be successful to have adulation. But people aren't going to congratulate you and pat you on the back if you're average.
Mm.
Or you're poor to average. If you're average to good, and then good to great, mate, these Cardiff fans will love you.
Yeah.
That's down to you. And if you got certain promises about financials that then haven't materialised, then you've got a choice. You don't have to stay here. You can always, I know it's easier said than done, but you can always say, listen, things haven't happened where I've been promised, and that leaves me with no other alternative but to walk, right? You've always got that choice as a manager. But if you stay with the players you've got, and you've, because you didn't come for the job and think, I'll go for the job, get the interview, and then look at the squad and see what they got.
Mm.
No, you do your homework. So he would have done all his homework and right, da 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 da, and I think he'd be better there. And then you go into the interview and you tell the chairman or the board, whatever, right, what my plan is. And then they go, like that, or loathe it. They obviously went, like that. But they must have then made promises to him about, right, well, what we do is this, this, and this. Because if they said to you, if you were coming in to the situation, and then they said to you, but there's zero funds, that's a different kettle of fish again, right? That's not the same as me coming in to looking at your squad going, you've got a good squad, doesn't play good football, he needs adjusting here and there, so I'm going to need about 5 million quid. And they go, yeah, we can do that, no problem.
Yeah.
And then you come and Jarry and you go, right, now, we keep drawing, as you can see, I told you that was going to be the case, it's what we need to do, I need 3 million quid to adjust this position, and then they go, nah, hold on a minute, you're an agent on the deal.
Mm.
Right? Because my plan is to get you to the Premier League as a sustainable Premier League outfit, because that is the goal
in terms
of both sides. So one side can renege on the other, unless you turn around and they go, right, financial fair play, say we can't spend any more money. Well, what we didn't tell you, Neil, was, and we didn't realise that this, 8 million has come out of somewhere we didn't realise, blah 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 blah. Mm. Okay, then we'll work with it till the summer or whatever. Yeah.
Obviously, we don't know what was said.
We don't. The scene, I'm so, just speculating. Yeah.
In terms of what the fans are saying, though, I'm not talking about knee-jerk fans now. I'm talking about rational, intelligent Cardiff City fans who are saying...
They're all intelligent in their own way, because everyone's right in their own way.
You know what I mean? Social media people who wouldn't normally just jump on somebody's back, right? The phrases they're using are, he's out of his depth, the job is too big, this club is too big for him, you know? And that's a little bit of a worry when you're hearing that. You don't think that gap is likely to be narrowed, you know? Blakey's very first question on Ask Blakey here wasn't an overwhelming vote of confidence in the ability of Neil Harris to turn this club around. I think you're finding, rational, they're not irrational football fans. They're, fans who care with a passion about the club. They just feel, as I say, that's the terminology they use.
Because it's too big a job for everyone, different, right? So you might get a manager to come in and do wonders with this squad, right? But then you might get a manager who comes in and doesn't. That's down to their personality, right? What you can get out of. Because attitude reflects leadership, right? So I follow you because I believe in what you are, what you're doing, what you're trying to achieve, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Right? That's then a mental game. That's a psyche, right? That's not just about coaching. That's about, like, my manipulation, but for the good,
mm-hmm.
not for the bad, right? So there's, and that's why I always say, well, look at Millwall, look at someone's last, right? And take that and use that cite that as your example, and the next man, has he done better? Well, you'd have to say yeah. That's not mean to say that because Guy Rout has done better with Millwall in a short space of time, been there, it might be different over longevity, mm-hmm. but in a short space of time, that Neil Harris can come here and improve on what Neil Warnock was doing, right? Because he might have had his hands tied there for 5 years. We don't know, right? That's not our club. We don't follow it. But looking at what Rowett has done with his squad and then looking what he's done with Neil's squad, you think, well, this squad is superior to that squad, so you should get more out of this squad than you did out of that squad, right? And his record is not bad. It's just too many draws.
Yeah.
Right? It's just too many draws. There's not a lot of losses in there. It's just too many draws.
Yeah.
But like I said earlier, two games, one win is better than two draws from a digits point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know. It's, I find myself saying this a lot. It's like, I don't know. It's just like, it's just, you know, like I said, it's all gotta connect. Right? It's like an arrow. It's all got to be shaped into a point. Right, and at the moment, to me, and it's been like this for a few years, it's edgy. There's edges everywhere. And, you know, that doesn't quite run right. That doesn't quite fit right. There's not enough of that coming to here. There's not enough them going over there. You know, the manager doesn't take time to see that. You know, the academy and the first team at one point, you know, not in, you know, unison with each other. What's that about? You know, they have to be in unison.
Yeah, well, you know, he's been here 2 months. He's got him up the table a little bit. All is not completely lost, is it? Still got quite a way of the season to go, and we'll see what.
Yeah, but the games just tick off, mate. Honestly, they just tick off. You get to the stage where once Christmas comes and goes, once January's gone, right? We're now on. You enter the race for the final, like 3 or 4 miles in a marathon. This is it.
Where I will give Neil Harris a lot of credit is his bold decision making on the day of the derby when he dropped Aidan Flint and Neil Etheridge.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, considering that was Swansea that day, that those were really bold decisions. I'm, you know, speaking to you before the game about it, Blakey, mm-hmm. saying this is what I was hearing, but I found it hard to believe, you know.
Mm.
And Flint hasn't had a look in since.
No.
You know, well, nor is Etheridge, apart from the. You know, okay. Smithies is very much the number one choice now. And Morrison looks the Morrison we know he can be. Which
yeah,
is one
because
of the
you've got someone athletic.
One of the best defenders at this level.
No, but
he looks good again.
What you've got, rather than galoots, as I call them, rather than two big headers and just good at attacking the ball, you've now got one athletic who can turn, who can run, you know, good on a slide challenge, you know, good in the air. By the way, Nelson, stop saying sorry to centre forwards when you duff them up a bit. Don't pick them up and say sorry. Just walk away. Have that killer instinct in you. That's one thing I've seen him do quite a few times. But, you know, don't say sorry to centre defenders. But Nelson compliments Morrison. They compliment each other. That's partnerships around the pitch. Mm. Right back compliments your right winger. Left back complements your left winger. Your left winger, your right winger, they complement your centre forward or centre forwards. Yeah? Your two central midfielders, they complement each other. You've got to have a balance. You know, these are all partnerships all around the pitch. So it's no surprise to me that when you add Flint and Morrison, take one of them out or take Flint out, it had to be Flint for me, and put Nelson in, you know, no doubt. Nelson's not a great ball player. What I'd say to Nelson is, as soon as you get it, look for Pack. If Pack's not on, look to your wide defender, right back or left back. If he's not on, clip it up to your striker. Just clip it. All right? Don't smash it. Don't hit for corners. That's old school football. Clip it up to your striker's chest. It's quite simple. It's an easy ball. It's a little 20, 30 yarder. But, you know, get it, give it. Don't worry about playing. And don't panic when it's coming to you. In the final third, these are things that, as he grows in this division, I think he'll become better and better at. But for me, he's our best centre back, Nelson. If you're looking at defending, he's our best centre back.
Really?
Yeah, well, easy for me.
Okay, so we come to the final part. Let's go to some predictions. Away to Luton this weekend, Paul.
Bottom of the table, 5-0 Cardiff. Done. I'm out.
5-0 Cardiff, bold prediction from the man himself.
I'm joking.
No, I'm taking that to his senses only. Paul, your prediction.
I'll take your pick. 0-0, 1-1, 2-2, 3-3. Choose out of those.
Okay.
I actually think Cardiff will go there and win on Saturday.
I think we'll go there and struggle.
2-0 or 2-1 to Cardiff.
I think we'll go there and struggle.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, you think the opposite, 2-0 or 2-1 to Luton?
It's small ground, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tight little ground.
Yeah.
We traditionally always struggle with those kind of grounds. We like the big, wide open space, really. So, I'll go 1-1. Honestly,
that's a bold prediction. Yeah. Cardiff City to draw a game. Blakey
Trotter. You're blaming me for the draws, man. All I can do is predict. I can. It's not my fault.
Blakey predicts a Cardiff City draw, everybody.
Surprise, surprise.
On the front page.
I'm going to go for a little Cardiff City 1-0, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Well, once again, thank you all for your questions, as we thank you every week.
Yeah, great questions, by the way.
Yeah, more great questions. So make sure you keep up to date with all the Cardiff City news at Wales Online.